what we should have, what we need, what we want. Lord, be with us this morning as we consider this and as we live into your promise that you will provide for us enough. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for Rose. Thanks for preparation. Seep into our hearts and into our minds this morning. Teach us. Help us to follow your way, to be your disciples. We praise you and offer ourselves to you this morning.
So we're in the fourth week. This is a little hot, Bruce, a little loud. We're in the fourth week of our Seven Deadly Sins series. And we've done five of the seven. And now we're getting ready to do number six. And these seven deadly sins are things that hijack our hearts and take us away from the love that God has for us and lead us down the path we do not want to go. And the one that's probably most overlooked or forgotten about or like, man, it's not that big a deal, is gluttony. So I found this picture where there's a guy from the 1600s, right? And it says gluttony. It's the acceptable sin. Because who doesn't like to go to a buffet and eat everything? Right? It's not that big a deal. No problem. Eh. So some of you are saying, oh, good, she's not going to talk about anything that I have to deal with. Or some of you are like, right? We're all feeling different things. Let's define what we mean by gluttony. Gluttony is overindulgence or overconsumption of anything. Okay, we think about food most often, but it could be anything. Oftentimes it's something that could be, it's a good thing normally, but it's an overindulgence. It's too much of it to the point of waste. You know, no one needs that much food. I forget, and I should never use an example in my sermon that I didn't write down because I'm not sure I got it right. But somebody this week, did you hear in the news, somebody bought a house in California for like $165 million? Okay, well, who needs that, right? Like, who has that much money and who needs it? But it's this idea of just overconsumption, and our minds trick us and think we need that much. So it's taking more than you need. That's gluttony. Taking more than you need. And why do we do it? Because we're afraid there's not going to be enough. So we got to get, you know, if you're from a big family and you were a kid, there might not be enough food on the table. So you've got to grab what you can and eat it as fast as you can because there might not be enough. Right? Or maybe it's just that you have a lot of emptiness inside and you take whatever it is, food or money or sex or whatever, and try to fill up that empty space that only God can fill. Gluttony does not just refer to food. It doesn't mean, we're not talking about obesity, right? But it does mean that somehow you're listening to your stomach, you're listening to your gut more than you're listening to your mind and your heart. Okay? You just want to feel good and you want to feel good now. So you feel kind of bored and you go and instead of just eating one cookie, you eat the whole box. Maybe in secret because you don't want anybody else to know. Or you don't just watch one show on Netflix to feel a little bit relaxed, but you binge watch and you watch like, you know, and I do this sometimes, right? You watch the whole series, all 15 seasons, whatever, right? Now, our culture that we live in counts on gluttony because they want to make money off of our gluttony. Right? So there's a person's shoe closet over here. That's not a store. That's their closet. I'm working my way up to that many shoes. Just kidding. All right? No one needs that many shoes. Or there's a really big monster truck. Look at how big those tires are. right? So big that people can stand underneath it. Or look at the buffet. Let's all go to Shady Maple, right? And eat as much as we can. Or let's have the newest iPhone. And I have a confession. I gave in to that. So, wasn't a good week for me to preach on gluttony. But our culture counts on us always wanting more, whatever it is. Always wanting more. Is there anything wrong with that? Is it really unhealthy? Is it really a sin? Come on, Rose, it's not really a sin, right? Why is it a sin? Why is gluttony a sin? Well, again, gluttony is excess. It's taking more than you need, which means you're wasting God's good gift while others do not have enough. So it's harming the relationship between you and God and between you and others. According to Philippians 3:18, gluttony is not a food problem, it's a worship problem. It's a worship problem. What are you bowing down at the altar of? What compulsions control your life instead of God? So the passage in Philippians 3 says, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. The cross teaches us discipline, teaches us sacrifice, teaches us, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. That's not an easy thing. It's not a beautiful cross that you're wearing sparkly on your neck, right? It's hard. It's costly. Many live as enemies of that, and they're headed for death. They're headed for brokenness. They're headed for destruction, right? And what is their God? Not Yahweh, but their gut, their belly, their stomach, whatever gives them pleasure. Their mind is set on that and not on God. Now, I've heard it said, you only live once. Come on, have a little fun. And it's true. Sometimes I do need to loosen up and have a little fun. Right? And Yahweh planned for his children to have feasts and to celebrate and to... Sometimes it seems like excess, but those were certain days of the year where they remembered and told God's story, and they did it in community, and there was enough for everybody, including the strangers and foreigners and aliens that lived among them. Okay? But we in America, we want to live that way every day. So it's not splurging because you're doing it every day. It's become a way of life. And if we don't have enough money, we use a credit card. Right? So we want to have more. It's a worship problem. We're worshiping something other than God. We're bowing down. We're enslaved to something. That's why gluttony is a sin. We're serving the God of our belly. I was doing a little research. You know, they've done studies of our brains. And they look at what lights up our pleasure centers in our brains. And they do MRIs, and they can, it's colored and everything. And they look and they see. And obviously things like sex or even laughter can light up the, make the pleasure centers of our brain kind of, it's like a circuit, makes us feel good. Those are things that are good. God intended them for good, right? And food can do that too. So can drugs. Drugs can overload our brain, right? And that's where addiction comes. But if we serve the God of pleasure, of wanting our brain to be lighting up all the time, 24/7, which is kind of what our culture is making us feel like it should be, just happy, happy, happy all the time, then we've lost our understanding of what it means to follow Jesus, certainly. And it's just not real life. There's suffering, and there's hard things, and there's sad things. And when we teach our kids that they should always be happy all the time, blah, 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 then when pain comes, they're not going to have a way to even deal with it, right? So it's important. this sin of gluttony, as I was studying it, it just got bigger and bigger. And yes, it kind of connects to lust, and it can connect to greed, and it can connect to sloth. It can connect to a lot of things, because all of these things turn us away from God, turn us away from the life that God wants us to live. And it causes us, we give up this joy and this life in Christ, we give that up for some temporary pleasure that will only last a minute, right? I have a confession from a glutton, and this is not my confession because I didn't want to give you mine. All right, so I'm going to come over here so I can read it. This man says, in my own life, I can see a myriad of ways in which gluttony has become an idol, which I bow down to it. I have an almost worshipful relationship with food. I eat when I'm in between meals. I eat when I'm in my car. I eat when I'm bored. I eat when I'm restless, when I'm frustrated, when I'm watching TV, when I'm on the computer. I eat constantly for no other reason than I can eat almost anytime I want to. But this is where it takes a deeper level, right? But I also starve my soul by other forms of overconsumption. I binged watched Downton Abbey 31 hours and Battlestar Galactica 57 hours. Even though I've already seen every episode, I stay up too late gorging on Facebook and Twitter. I play countless hours of video games like Angry Birds or Civilization 5. I don't even know what those are, but I turn to Netflix instead of turning to prayer. I pause to check Facebook instead of pausing to meditate on Scripture. I seek out a piece of fried bread instead of seeking the bread of life. I fill my life with comfort food and comfort games, with must-see TV and must-engage social media in order to avoid filling my time and my life with God and His holy word. That's this person's confession on gluttony, where he took the spot in his heart that belongs to God and he gave it to something else, right? So we see this excessive gluttony. We see this all throughout Scripture. And I'm going to give you some examples. And I put either a sad face or a happy face next to each of the examples. So we'll kind of take a little trip through the Bible today. And these are just some, because Pastor Milky had one in the children's time that I hadn't thought of. So these are just some of them. The biblical story teaches us that we must learn to say, I have enough. I have enough. Right? So think about Adam and Eve, the very first story in the Bible, right? The very first people. They had a buffet of beautiful trees and fruit that they could have access to. But you know what? That wasn't enough for them, right? They wanted that one other one. And so Satan was able to tempt them because that fruit was a delight to the eyes, it says, and good for food. So this excessive desire got to them, and they gave up what? Paradise. They gave up something big for a momentary taste that probably was delicious, but didn't last. They gave it up. The other one, story of Jacob and Esau, that's the little cartoon character I have there. Those are two brothers. You might not know this story. They were twin brothers. And one was, very manly. And hairy. He was very, 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 very hairy, it says. Okay? And red hair. And he liked to go out and hunt meat, you know? And the other one was kind of a mama's boy, and he was more mild-mannered, and he liked to cook in the kitchen, things like that. So this story is about when Esau came in from being out hunting and wanted food right now. It's like when I get home from work, I want food right now. You know, I'm hungry. But he was hungry. And his brother knew his pattern. He knew that he comes home hungry. And Esau had something that Jacob wanted. Esau was the oldest. And in that culture, the oldest gets the birthright, gets the blessing from the father. And Jacob wanted it for himself. So he cooked up a plan along with some red stew. And when his brother came home, doesn't this smell delicious? And his brother comes in, I'm so hungry. And instead of saying, here, brother, my twin, have some food. No, I will give it to you if you give me your birthright. For a bowl of soup, he gave away a blessing that would last his lifetime, that he could never get back. Because of that momentary desire. And Jacob was messed up too, right? Like, they're both messed up in their priorities and what they were doing. But we see, again, Adam and Eve gave up paradise. Jacob gave up a birthright because of that momentary desire got away from him and took him down a path he did not want to go. The children of Israel, there's many, many, many examples that we could give from their story, but just one, right? One is that God fed them in the wilderness with what? Manna. And there was always enough every day for everyone to have enough. And if you tried to collect more, what happened to the manna? It got nasty, it got maggots, right? God was trying to teach them the principle of enough. They always had enough water and enough food. But what did they say? We want to go back to Egypt because there we had leeks and melons and things like that and not just manna. They wanted to give up. They wanted to go back to slavery for some food. Right? Even though the promised land that was coming was milk and honey and amazing things that God had for them, but they didn't want to go through the hard stuff. That's like us. We want a shortcut. And so we fill our lives with stuff to give us that shortcut. So thumbs down on the children of Israel. Daniel, happy face. We finally get to somebody that got it, right? What did Daniel do? Daniel's taken into captivity, and the king is like, here is the buffet of all the good foods in the world. And Daniel says, no. I'm going to follow the law of Moses. I'm going to just eat vegetables, things that are healthy for me, and water. I don't need your wine. I don't need all of your sweets. I don't need all your meat. They were probably offered to idols. I'm going to have enough. And I'm going to prove to you that God's way is the best way. So Daniel gets a thumbs up. He teaches us the principle of enough. Let's fast forward to Jesus. Jesus was even tempted with this, right? Remember when he's in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and he's probably very hungry because he's fasting, and Satan comes to him and he's like, hey, Jesus, see these stones? If you're really God, you can turn them to bread and you can eat them. And Jesus' stomach was probably going, yes, right? Get me some bread. But Jesus says to Satan, Jesus says to him, no, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm not going to give in to you, Satan, and to my stomach right now. On another occasion, when his disciples were really hungry and they asked him about food, he said, my food, what really feeds me, what really sustains me, is to do the will of the one who sent me. That's my food. That's what fills me up, following God. Now, mind you, don't think that Jesus went around never eating. He ate. In fact, what did he get accused of? Do you remember? He said, Jesus is a drunkard. And a glutton. He was accused of that because he was always at parties. So it's not that Jesus didn't take time to celebrate and eat, but he knew when was appropriate and when was not. He wasn't controlled by his stomach. He wasn't controlled by his desire for pleasure. That's Jesus. The early church in Acts chapter 2. This isn't about food as much, but the early church, when people first started coming to follow Jesus, and they were gathering in, and they looked around, and they said, oh, Tiffany doesn't have as much. She needs more. I'm going to sell something of mine so that she can have it. That's the opposite of gluttony, right? That's not hoarding for yourself, but that's giving away. That's having an open hand. That's sharing. That's being generous. Instead of, I'm going to get for me and mine. That's a thumbs up, teaching us about the practice of enough. But then the early church wasn't always great, right? Because Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and they had church in their homes, okay? And the people that were wealthy could come to church early, and they could bring all their food, and they could eat, and they took communion, and they were like, oh, a little more wine, a little more wine, a little more wine. And then the people that were the working class came in late to the meeting, to the church, and there's no food left. And they're not offering me communion because they already drank it all. And Paul got really angry about this and said, you've missed the whole point. Why aren't you taking care of the whole body and making sure everybody has food? And we wait till everybody comes before we start. Thumbs down. They gave in to gluttony. And then finally, and there's lots more examples, I want you to see that this is a theme all throughout Scripture. The Scripture today was the church at Philippi, who thought that there was a group of them who thought that the highest good was if you felt pleasure. And that's why Paul said to them, your God is not Jesus, your God is your belly and feeling good for the moment. And you've denied the cross of Christ. You've become an enemy to that. Next slide. You've become an enemy to that. You see, gluttony always reveals to us what is enslaving us. It reveals to us what is trapping us. If you are feeling a little obsessive about something, or a compulsion to eat or to do whatever it is that you're feeling compulsion, that's a little light should go off in your brain. Ding, ding, ding. This is a problem. It's a warning sign, right? Now, we have all probably known or heard about, or maybe even been, someone that has been addicted to drugs, or known someone that's been addicted to drugs. And we've seen what that does to families when somebody wants, you know, cocaine or meth or whatever so desperately that they will steal from their own children. Right? We've seen that. Somehow we don't think the same way about all the other stuff that enslaves us because it's not illegal. I remember when I was going to seminary, one of the things I had to do was I had to go to a Narcotics Anonymous group where they all sit in a circle and say, hi, my name is Rose and I'm an addict, or hi, my name is whatever and I'm an addict. And they knew I was coming and they knew I was a student and that I wasn't there because I was addicted to drugs. But as I sat, and there were probably 30 people in that circle, as they went around and told their story, I realized, oh, I'm not any different from them. My drug of choice just isn't illegal. Right? We all have things that trap us, that we're addicted to, that Jesus came to set us free from. Came to set us free from. How can we learn to say enough? How can we be set free? We break free by turning to God to fill us with good things. You have to start by becoming aware that you are being controlled by something other than God. That you are bowing down to something other than God. Whatever it is. I don't know what your thing is, but I bet you $1 million you got something. Because I do. I got more than one. Okay? So you have to first admit it. It's like AA, right? You got to admit you're powerless and you got a problem, right? It's the first step. And then you have to realize that you've been turning to something other than God to feel good, to feel pleasure, to feel whole. And you got to confess that. You got to say, God, I'm sorry. You have to see that. Try to let the Holy Spirit let you know what's underneath that. Why are you like that? Why do you have that compulsion? Is it a lack of trust? Is it a fear of not having enough? Is it this vast emptiness that needs to be filled with God and God's Spirit instead of something else? Scripture teaches us that our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where His Spirit resides. Romans teaches us that our minds need to be transformed. Because when we have these addictions, when we have these things that control our minds, our brain actually has patterns and ruts and grooves in it that need to be transformed. We have a puppy who is a beagle. And she is always nose to the ground, ears to the ground, sniffing. So she's not controlled by her belly, she's controlled by her nose. And as I was walking her this week, thinking about, you know, how am I ever going to train her when she was bred to be controlled by her nose. That's how she is. How are we ever going to teach her to stop when we say stop, or wait when we say wait, or heal, or whatever all the commands are you're supposed to give a dog? Then I thought, oh, we're sort of like that. We just got something else that's controlling us. And God is saying, I want to teach them what is best for them. So right now we're working that she has to stop when we get to the end of a sidewalk before we cross the street. Because she could get killed by a car, right? If she runs across the street. So I'm trying to teach her to wait. And I have, of course, a leash, which she's learning pretty quickly to stop. And I thought, what is that leash? What is God using? What am I asking God to use in my life to teach me enough or stop or wait? You don't need that. You don't need that. The scripture we read this morning, Mark and Pachoka read from Psalm 81:10 says, "It was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, who rescued you from slavery, from bondage to these things. Open wide your mouth. Open up your hands. Let me fill it. Because what I have is what you need. It's what you really need for your soul to be fed." Gluttony of food gives us flabby bodies. But if we live a practice of gluttony with all things, our souls get flabby. Our hearts get flabby. Right? Spiritually, we get flabby. We need to be filled with good things. On the front of your bulletin cover this morning is the passage from Psalm 107. For God satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good things. So it's coming to recognize, the antidote to gluttony is coming to recognize that God will give you enough, to trust that God will give you enough, and to know that in your physical bodies. To trust that God will teach you to hunger and thirst for righteousness instead of for donuts or new shoes or whatever it is that you thirst and hunger for. So for our spiritual practice, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do a body prayer. And I'm going to show you what we're going to do. And then I'm going to invite you to stand and do it. So a body prayer helps us, is this on? A body prayer helps us to get our whole body involved in prayer. Right? Not just our brains. We just like to get our brains involved, but we need to get our whole body involved. And this body prayer has three motions. Very simple. The first one is your hands are up to God. When your hands are up to God, they can't hold on to other stuff. When your hands are up to God, you're worshiping God for who He is. And your eyes are up to God as well. Okay, so you're giving God the glory instead of whatever that thing is that wants to fill your belly, right? The second one is out to others. This is where, in your prayer, you think about who you can bless, who you can be generous with, who you can touch, who you can love. Right? Up to God, out to others. And the third one is the hardest one for me to do. It's to let it, whatever it is, go. If it's food, if it's worry, if it's fear, if it's control, whatever it is that's enslaving you or that burden that you're carrying. So, I'm going to pray a short prayer for us before, and then I'm going to invite everyone to stand and test this out. It's an experiment. If you don't like it, you never have to do it again. But you might find out that if you did this every morning or every night, your body, your mind, and your heart would start to learn that you don't need that other stuff. You might. It's an experiment. Let's pray. God, our world wants us to be gluttonous, to always turn to something besides you to make us feel good or pleasured. We want to learn to serve you and not ourselves. We got a long ways to go. Even while we do this experiment of a body prayer, I ask that your spirit would come and inform our whole body that really it belongs to you. Our body belongs to you. Our mind, our spirit, our soul, everything. You created it. You love it. It belongs to you. And that it is most at peace. It is most full of joy. It is most alive when it's doing what it was created to do, which is worship you. When it is hungering and thirsting after you instead of what the world gives. Thank you for forgiving us when we keep messing up over and over and over again. We offer ourselves to you. Teach us, even in this experiment. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. We're going to try it. If you really don't want to, you can just stand there. I'm not going to, no one's going to strike you down, okay? But it's an experiment. And you can close your eyes so you're not looking at anybody else in case you might look weird. And I'll close mine and I'm not going to know if you didn't do it, all right? We're going to do it three times. Three times. And the Spirit will bring to mind what you need to think of when you're doing it. Okay? Up to God. Take a deep breath. Out to others. And let it go. Up to God. Really stretch. Out to others.